Week number one of Difference Maker. Gonna start with a video, so it's a little bit dark in terms of, like, you're gonna have trouble seeing it, so try to listen.
One evening, I was sitting alone in my room, reading, when I heard steps on the veranda, and soon a knock. I went to the door and saw a Brahmin gentleman. I asked him if I could do anything for him. "Oh, yes, Amma," he said, "I so need your help. My wife is dying in childbirth, and Amma, she is such a lovely girl. I heard that you'd come to India, and I thought you could help her." "But," I replied, "I know nothing about childbirth, but my father is a doctor, and I can bring him. He can save your little wife." Almost in horror, he raised his hands, saying, "I could not take a man into my house. No man can look upon my wife. If you cannot come, she must die." He left, and I sat down at my desk, feeling desperate. After some time, I heard footsteps. I ran to the door, thinking that the Brahmin had returned. Instead, there stood a Mohammedan, and with the same request. He, too, turned away, repeating the same words, "Oh, she must die." I felt I could not bear it. And again, I heard footsteps in the same evening. Similar requests came from a third man. There was no sleep for me that night. I could not forget those three young women dying in childbirth when I could not help them. By morning, my decision was made. I could go to America, study medicine, and return to India as a doctor to try to save the lives of those who needed me.
In the space of one night, a young woman had made a life-changing decision. It was an act of faith, and she remained true to that call for the rest of her life.
Ida Scudder was the book that we read as the first book in our Summer Pastors Challenge. As a family, we read it together, and it was powerful, powerful story. This one woman, she's the daughter of a missionary doctor in India, late 1800s, and she vowed she would not follow in her father's footsteps. She would not remain in India. She would not be a doctor until that night when three Indian men came to her house begging for help. But because of their religious beliefs, they would not allow a male doctor to treat their pregnant wife. And three women died that night. And young Ida's life completely changed course. She enrolled in medical school, so the next time that happened, she could finally do something about it. But she didn't just become a doctor. See, Ida Scudder started the first medical school in India for women. First one, so that women could become doctors and treat other women. And that battle in that day, in that time, was a battle nobody thought she could win. That was 1918. In 2003, the Vellore Christian Medical Center was the largest Christian hospital in the world with 2,000 beds. And its medical school is one of the premier medical colleges in India. After she started, men were knocking on her door, begging to be trained at her school. And it took a while, but she finally did let men come in to that school. But Ida Scudder was a difference maker. Big time. And we look at people like that, and to us, they are larger than life. We think, wow, that's amazing. We praise God for what people like that, for what God did through her. But don't we also kind of see people like that in a category very different from ourselves? I could never do anything like that. That is so far from me. Do you think that young Ida Scudder saw herself as a Christian superhero? The way we look at her now, this huge, massive medical school and hospital. Do you think she saw herself as a superhero? Answer is no. Not at all. She was a normal person, just like you. She had fears. She had conflicting desires. She was human, just like us. And yet God used her to change the way medicine was practiced in India and to lead many people to Jesus along the way. So how did Ida Scudder become a difference maker? This is the verse we're going to focus on today. And this is how she became a difference maker. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. It's in the middle of this story about this bad king who is not fully committed to God. And this verse just pops out of the pages of the Old Testament and tells us God's heart. He's looking for people whose hearts are fully committed to him. Welcome to the first week of Difference Maker. This four-week series is about helping us and exploring what does it take to become the kind of person that makes a difference for God. And so part of the series, I'm actually going to challenge you to memorize four Bible verses. We don't do this very often. We have done it in the past. But I'm going to challenge you to memorize this verse this week right here. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Now, why would we bother memorizing? You probably have multiple Bibles at home. You can look this up anytime you want. Print it out if you want. Why do we bother memorizing? Why would we want to do that? It's not an academic exercise. This is not because we need to add some more school to our life. We memorize the Bible to write it on our hearts. You want to be a difference maker for God? Start by memorizing that verse and let it soak into you. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Ida Scudder became a difference maker for God because her heart was fully committed to him. That terrible night when she closed the door on three desperate men, three dying women, and three unborn babies, that was a difference maker for her. That night changed her life. She exchanged her divided heart for a fully committed one. She had a divided heart before that. She wanted a lot of different things. But that day, she fully committed her heart to God and never looked back. And the number of lives that have been saved because of her fully committed heart, impossible to count. India is a different country because of her. She committed herself to God. God noticed, and he strengthened her for the work. That's what God does. That's what he's looking for. That's what he does. So what this verse says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Why would God choose to strengthen those people, the people whose hearts are fully committed? Why would he choose to strengthen those people and not other people? Well, because they're not going to misuse the strength he gives. He's not going to waste his strength. He's going to use it so that we can serve him. If we want to use it for deceptive purposes, for selfish purposes, that's not going to be good for us or anybody. So he's not going to waste his strength. He's going to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So as we start this series, are we having some problems here? Yeah. See if that's any better. Jake, you can keep an eye on it. As we start this series, you need to ask this question. Do I really want to be a difference maker for God? Is that what I want? Because this verse, if it is, this verse is for you. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I want God to notice me, and I hope you want God to notice you. I look at Ida Scudder, and we read that story, and it's pretty awesome what God did. Before we read that story, I never even heard of her. Never heard of her. But guess what? She was a normal person. She was just like us. And so kind of one of the main things we want you to take away from this series and this morning, it's in your notes. You might want to fill this in. Your potential to be a difference maker for God is just as great as it was for all the great missionaries of the past. Your potential to be a difference maker for God is just as great as it was for Ida Scudder, for Hudson Taylor, for George Mueller, for Corrie Ten Boom, for anybody else whose name is on the wall. These people were all difference makers, right? Your potential is just as great as it was for them. And going into this, I don't want us to get confused. Being a difference maker for God is not about going somewhere else. Ida grew up in India. She left for a while. She came back. She stayed in India pretty much her whole life. God has you right here for a specific reason. God's work is not just happening everywhere else. It's here. Right here. And yeah, God may send people to different places, and some of you, he may send somewhere else, somewhere down the line. But right now, he has you here. If you're listening online, he has you somewhere. I don't know where that is. But those of you who are here, you're in Kutztown. You're at KU. You're in BAME. And you're going to go home to your house, and there's people around you. There are already people in your life who God has put there for a reason. People in India are not better than us. They're just as needy. So we don't have to go somewhere else. There are new people you're going to meet because you live where you live, because you work where you work, because you go to shop where you shop. God's going to introduce you to people. So going to a foreign country, a lot of those people did go to foreign countries, right? And it's pretty awesome what they did. But that doesn't put you in a higher class as a Christian. That's not like, this is the goal. I want to go somewhere else. God wants most of us to stay right where we are. This is where God wants us to make a difference. So we start this series off, and I'd like you to answer this question honestly. Do you see yourself right now as a difference maker for God? I'm not going to call on anybody, but how do you think about yourself right now? Do you see yourself as a difference maker for God? And I feel like a lot of us do not. And so I want us to think about that. Why not? Maybe some of you do. And I hope there are at least some of you here who do think that way. Yes, I am a difference maker for God. There are two reasons that I thought of that we don't see ourselves as difference makers for God. So I want us to think about that as we go into this series. Two main reasons. Here's one. We've got the wrong idea of what a difference maker actually is. We have the wrong idea. Wrong definition in our head. We tend to believe that a real difference maker for God is someone who moves to a foreign country to be a missionary telling naked savages about Jesus. If you've grown up in the church, you'll think that way. If you didn't grow up in the church, you're like, what? What are you talking about? But if you grew up in the church, you might think that way. That's a real difference maker. You read those books, they're the difference makers, not us. Or at the very least, you have to at least quit your job and start to serve Jesus for a paycheck. That's where real difference makers are. And so you may be thinking, I'm not a difference maker. I didn't start no hospital. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not doing nothing special for God. And I would guess there are probably quite a few people who think that way. Let me ask you this. We need to think this through. Let's think about this for a second. Do you really think somebody has to make serving Jesus their full-time job to really be fully committed to him? Do you have to leave your full-time job to do that? Do you really think about this? Do you really think God wants to pull all the fully committed Christians out of their workplaces so they can really serve God in ministry settings? Don't we have something backwards there? Didn't Jesus send us into the world and not pull us out of it? I think some of us have the wrong idea of what it looks like to be fully committed to God. Your potential to be a difference maker for God right where you are is just as great. It's all those people on the wall. So the main question is not, where are you located? The main question is, are you fully committed? That's the question we have to wrestle with. Am I fully committed? The eyes of the Lord, they're looking around. And they will land on those people whose hearts are fully committed to him. And what's he going to do with those people? He's going to strengthen you for whatever he wants you to do. Are you fully committed right now? There's another reason some of us don't see ourselves as difference makers, and this might seem obvious, but here's the other reason. We're not. We're not difference makers. That's the other reason we don't see ourselves that way. We're not a difference maker yet. We've got a divided heart. Maybe it's not even divided. Maybe it's all over here. pursuing something different. God's looking for hearts that are fully committed to him. And honestly, a lot of us just are not there. And I don't have a list of names. You're not fully committed, and you are, and you're not. But the reality is, in this room, probably quite a few of us are not there yet. So if my heart's not fully committed to God, God is not strengthening me because I haven't decided to use my strength for him. We've got a divided heart. And this isn't me pointing five fingers out there. I've been serving as a pastor in Kutztown for almost 20 years, and I still wrestle with this myself. But I do remember a major, significant turning point in my life, 1994. I had a seriously divided heart until my first year of college. And a lot of you know my story. I've told it before. But just tying this in, I wanted to be a veterinarian, right? And a lot of you heard that. I want to be a veterinarian. That's not a bad desire. Except what's hiding beneath that desire? What's hiding underneath that? That was a divided heart. How was my heart divided? Because I had plans for my life. This is what I'm going to do. And those plans were not open to discussion or alternatives from God. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a veterinarian. And my future is not yielded to God. It's mine. I had white knuckles holding on to it. So when God brought that to my attention about how I was pursuing my future, convicted me through the Holy Spirit, God broke me and showed me where my heart really was. And so I had this conversation with God first year of college, and I just gave it to him. I said, "You're right. I'm holding my future as tight as I can. That's not okay. You're not going to bless that. You're not going to strengthen that. I got to release." And so that day, conversation with God, I surrendered my future to him. And just like with Ida Scudder, that one night, my life direction changed. That day, I can go back to that day. I gave it to God. I have to keep giving it to God, right? I mean, you make a decision like that, it's not over. You're still going to wrestle. You're going to battle. You're going to waffle back and forth. But I gave it to him. I keep giving it to him. God has better plans. That's why I'm here today and not in some vet clinic. But if I had not had that conversation with God and yielded my future to God's control, I would not be here with you today. I need to be clear because this could be confusing right now because I gave my life to God and my career and I'm serving Jesus for a paycheck now. Hopefully that's not the real reason why I'm serving him. But I want to be clear about this. It was not a bad thing to want to be a vet. There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't have a divided heart because I want to be a veterinarian. I almost said vegetarian. I've never wanted to be a vegetarian. Ever. A meatitarian, maybe. So it wasn't because I wanted to be a veterinarian. I had a divided heart because I wanted to serve me. That was my divided heart. My hidden goal was to make more money than my family had growing up. I wanted to make money. I liked animals for sure, but my other motive was to not be poor. I will not forget my dad asking me, "Hey, you want to help me work on this station wagon that's broken down again?" And I said, "No, I'm going to have a good job and I'm not going to have a broken down station wagon. I don't need to learn that." That was my plan. Unfortunately, I did not learn how to fix a broken down station wagon. And well, it might have been a good skill to develop. My family didn't have a ton of money. And as a teenager, I was committed. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to keep Jesus on the side. I was not rebelling against Jesus, I thought, but I was serving myself. My heart was not fully committed to God. I wanted to make money. So what was my heart committed to? Money and me, pretty much. I looked it up this week. You know how much money the average veterinarian makes in Pennsylvania? Internet tells me it's over $100,000 a year. In case you didn't know, I'm not making quite that. There's a family meeting coming up. You can know exactly how much I make. That's fine. I'm not making that, but you know what? Our family has way more than we deserve. We're not lacking anything. I don't wish for that other life. And looking back, my family growing up had plenty too. your definition of enough changes when you're fully committed to God. So can a person work in industry, business, human services, have a regular job, earning a normal paycheck? Can someone have that kind of a career and a life and a job and still be fully committed to God? You tell me. Yes, absolutely. Good, you got that right. I didn't have that heart. I had a divided heart. So how would you describe your heart this morning? Because God is scanning the earth. He was doing it back in Chronicles. He's doing it now. He's scanning the earth, looking for hearts that are fully committed to him. Is his gaze stopping at you? Is your heart one that God would take notice of? Or do you still have a divided heart? Because we're not talking about career. You know what? You can be a full-time Christian minister and have a divided heart. So one thing I can tell you, you're not on the track to be a difference maker for God with a divided heart. You got to be all in. You got to be fully committed to him. That's what God's going to notice. That's what God's going to strengthen. That's what the passage tells us. And a divided heart is really one of the most common things that robs us of the potential God's given us to be a difference maker. It's the divided heart. And you think about the church in America. This is the only church that I know. It's a church in America. We got a lot of divided hearts here. We got a lot of people who are not fully committed to God. That's not just Cornerstone. That's Church of America across the board. Why do so many of us settle for divided hearts and linger in mediocrity and not move forward and not see God work? I mean, how often do you see God work powerfully in your life? I want to see more. I've been on a pretty cool wave since I went away for solitude. Like the last several weeks have been really encouraging, and I've had some great conversations, and I feel like, yeah, God's using me, and I've had this awesome conversation, and they're encouraged, I'm encouraged. Like, I'm on a wave right now, but I don't always live on that wave. Why do we linger in this no man's land where, yeah, we're followers of Jesus, but we're not really following Jesus? Not really. Sometimes I think we believe the lie that we can never be like those people up on the board. Nah, that's really not me. Those people are the ones we give superhero status to. We're not going to be like that. Billy Graham, no way. Never be like that. So we settle for these lesser glories, like, just reach for this job promotion or maybe a better job or the next shiny toy. Boy, that's going to really satisfy me. Or this vacation that I'm drooling over, just, you know, these different mediocre, smaller, lesser things. Well, God is kingdom business for us. Kingdom business. If we will surrender fully to him, he will use us. He will strengthen us. He will use us for kingdom business. Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. Most famous sermon Jesus preached, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house." In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. And you look at a picture of the globe online at night. You know, you can Google that, and you see all these little lights. You see where the cities are, and you ever seen that? Like, that's pretty cool. You back up far enough to see the globe, and you see where the city, you know, all the lights coming up. We are the light of the world, and God has people all over the world shining his light. So the good deeds you do, let me see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The good deeds you do, that's the light. The kindness you show to somebody, the sacrifice you make, that's letting your light shine. And the ultimate objective of shining your light is not so they notice you, so they notice God. Let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jake has a really cool little flashlight, fits in your pocket. It's really bright. You know, the point of that thing is not to like turn it on and look at it. That hurts. It's not to stare at the light bulb. That's you. You're the light bulb, right? The point is to see what the light bulb is illuminating. It's shining light somewhere. What's it shining it on? Our light is meant to be shining on Jesus. Is your light, your good deeds, your kindness, is that shining, illuminating Jesus? That's what our good deeds are for. Whether it's Oasis, a whole church-wide event, opening the pool to the community and just kind of loving the community, that light, whatever we do, if it's you at work, on your own, that light is to illuminate Jesus. You don't have to go to some scary place to do that. Sometimes it is scary. Because these are people you'll see again. You don't have to become a super saint to make a difference for God. It's normal people like us. Normal people like us that God uses, has always used, to make a big difference in people's lives. And all you really, really need, this is where it begins. This is the trigger. It's the heart that's fully committed to Him. That's the trigger I need to pull. That's the trigger you need to pull. My heart is fully committed to you. You have that conversation with God. I'm doing it. I'm going all in. I'm going to forsake this thing that I've been pursuing. That's not first anymore. You're first. You're always first. And maybe there's room for that. Maybe there's not. Downhill skiing was one of those things for me. I had to give it up. Just no. That's not what I'm living for. I'm not going to be a vet in Argentina so I can, you know, ski in the summer and come back up here in the winter. It might be crazy to you, but I thought that way. If I'm going to serve you, God, as a missionary, I'm going to do it where there's ski slopes. That's just a heart that's fully committed to God said, you're first. You decide. You tell me where to go. I'm going wherever you want me to go. That's where the journey begins. It's where God's strength begins to pour into you. You believe that scripture is true? That He gives strength to those whose hearts are fully committed to Him? Do you think that's true? I think it is. I've seen it. That's where it begins. It's where God begins to make you into the kind of person who makes a difference for God. But to get to that place where we're really fully committed to Him, usually there's hurdles to overcome. Maybe for me it was money, downhill skiing. For you, it's maybe different things. There's hurdles. And there's some that are kind of broader hurdles that we kind of, a lot of us face. So for the next 3 Sundays, we're going to look at some of those hurdles. One of them is fear. If I trust you, how do I know you're going to be good to me? If I go that way, what about this? There's all this fear. I'm not sure I can really trust you, God. Because you let some people hurt sometimes. It's true. Fear, shame. You're looking over your shoulder. I'm not qualified. There's no reason for God to use me. Look at my past. Look where I've been. Shame. Yeah, Jesus did something with that shame. But we wear it as a backpack sometimes. Fear, shame, and the last one is indifference. That's when our heart just, it cares for something else so much that we don't really care about what God cares about. Indifference. It hits a lot of us. But the good news is this. When we want to be fully committed to God, He will give us strength for the hurdles. You want to pull that trigger? Say, no, I want to be fully committed to you. He will give you strength to overcome those hurdles. I never thought I would give up skiing. No way. I love it. Love to move fast down the slopes to catch air. I just love that. I love going up and down all day long. He changed those desires. There's other things I love more. He'll give you strength through those hurdles. Do I still struggle with greed? Yeah. I do, sometimes. But He's taken me a long way in that journey, too. Give you strength for the hurdles if you want it, if you make that decision. No, I'm not fully committed. I got a divided heart, but I want to be fully committed. So you have to think about, is that where you're at? Is that what you want? One of the coolest parts of being a Christian dad is watching your kids take steps toward their Heavenly Father. And I get to see that in my kids. I get to see them grow. I get to see them take steps. And I have seen Joanna's heart mature, blossom the last several years. And, you know, we think about difference makers. They're normal people like us. Joanna's becoming a difference maker for God, right where he has placed her, among her friends, at her school, in our town. Anybody can do that. You don't have to go somewhere different. You just got to do it where you are. But if we want to be a difference maker, Joanna is becoming a difference maker, and we are on our way, right? We are on our way. But if we want to be a difference maker, the change that needs to happen is right inside here. It's this. It's the decision. I am going to be fully committed to you, God. There's nothing else I want to do. There's nothing else I'd rather do. So is your heart fully committed to God? If not, what's your next step? What are you going to do? We're going to sing a song that's could possibly be your next step. But maybe you're feeling like, for me, it was 1994. I discovered it was 1890. Maybe for you, it's 2019, September 8. What's your next step? Take the next minute to think about it and just allow God to bring you to a place where he can pour his strength into you. It's not something you'll regret.